Well, good morning. Please turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, close to the end of the Bible. A few books before Revelation. Now, shepherds were common in Bible times. Shepherds took care of sheep. If you were a shepherd at the time that Peter was writing, you would have the responsibility of the oversight of your flock. Oversight means that you are looking after the flock. You are inspecting the flock. You are taking care of the flock of sheep. If you were a shepherd, your responsibility of overseeing the sheep meant that you would be feeding the sheep. You would be leading them to water. You would often be in rugged territory and you must move from place to place over the course of days or over the course of weeks. You would need to know where the best pastures were to feed the sheep. To water the sheep, you would need to know where the wells are. You would need to know where all the streams are and the springs of water. If you did not know these things, if you brought them to a well that was dry, the sheep would suffer. They would become weak. If you were a shepherd, your oversight would mean that you would know your sheep. You would know your sheep by name. You would know the characteristics of each of your sheep. You would know which sheep are likely to get distracted and where they might go astray. Because you know all your sheep, you would know if one of your sheep was sick. You would know, you would see it, and you would bind up that sheep. Maybe you would even need to carry that sheep for a while until it could walk on its own. If one of the sheep went missing, you would go and rescue that sheep, and you would bring it back to the flock. Sometimes you would go into town and you would bring your sheep and bring it to a big pen with very high walls, and you would give the sheep so that they would go in, and the doorkeeper would bring them into that pen. And then you would be in the town for the evening and the night, and the next day you would come to that pen and the doorkeeper would open the pen for you and you would call your sheep and then they would come out. And you would lead them out to pasture. As a shepherd, your oversight meant that you would be protecting the flock, watching out for danger. You'd be providing shelter for the sheep at night. If you were a shepherd, you would have a circle of stones in the field with a gap in it. You would bring your sheep in there at night, and you would lie down in the gap between the sheep and the wilderness. If you were a shepherd, your protection of the flock would mean that you are alert and watchful all day. You keep an eye out for danger. You watch the trees and rocks. You're looking for bears or lions or wolves that might be coming. If a wolf does attack, you run to where the wolf is. And if a wolf has snatched one of the lambs, you take your rod and you beat that wolf. And you rescue that lamb. If you were a shepherd for an owner who owned a very large flock, you'd be one of many shepherds. Each shepherd would be responsible for a small flock and would take that flock wherever it needed to go. The sheep are not your own, but you are given the responsibility and you have accepted the responsibility for every one of those sheep. And you would be accountable to the chief shepherd for that flock of sheep. He would know how you did. Let's read 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. 1 Peter chapter 5, 1 through 11. And this is Peter writing. So I exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you. Not for shameful gain, but eagerly. Not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your cares on him, because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you that you are the perfect owner of the sheep, that you are all powerful, that you are mighty. Jesus, we thank you that you are the chief shepherd of the sheep. You are the shepherd and the overseer of our souls. And now we come before you this morning. We come before you. We come before your word. Father, we recognize that we are but flesh and blood. We are weak. We are sinners. There is nothing in us of any value, any good, except what you have put there, and except that you, Christ, have died for our sins and you have put your righteousness on us. And now we ask, Father, that you would send your Spirit, that it would be your Spirit that works through your word to change our hearts. We pray that your Holy Spirit would work through my mouth, that my mouth would be faithful to your word. Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit would work in the ears of every one of us here that hears. Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit would make us a changed people. In Jesus' name, amen. Now you might say, I'm not an elder, so this passage doesn't apply to me. But this passage is important for you. Maybe it's because, well, for all of us, you should understand the role of an elder, because you should understand the role of those who are caring for you, those men to whom you must submit. You may also be called upon to affirm a proposed elder that the elders have brought forward. And so you should know what an elder should be and what an elder should be doing. If you are a parent, you need to be shepherding your children, and these principles apply to you. And these principles can be generally applied to everyone. And some of you may enter into pastoral ministry in the future, and so you need to know what an elder is to be and to be doing. Now, if you have the handout there with you with the sermon outline, our first heading is Shepherds and Elders. The metaphor of sheep for God's people and of shepherds for the leaders of God's people is throughout the Bible. Abraham and Isaac had large flocks. Jacob took care of the flocks of his uncle. He was out in the cold and in the heat. He was losing sleep, protecting and feeding the flock. Now Moses was a shepherd for his father-in-law Jethro before God called him to become a shepherd for his people Israel. David was the youngest boy of his father Jesse, and he took care of his father's flocks before God called David to be the shepherd of his people Israel. In Psalm 23, the Lord himself is our shepherd, protecting and abundantly providing for us. The prophets also speak of the leaders of Israel as being shepherds, some good, and as we learn, some bad. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. Now Peter wrote already in chapter 2, verse 25, for you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Remember when Jesus commissioned Peter in John chapter 21. Let's turn to John chapter 21. When Jesus commissioned Peter. John chapter 21, starting in verse 15. And when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, "Follow me." And I want to draw your attention to three things from this passage. First, Jesus has a flock of sheep and lambs. Second, Jesus commands Peter to go and to feed and to care for the flock. And third, in order for Peter to take care of the flock, Jesus commands him first to love him more than anything else. And second, he requires him, he says, "Follow me." This reminds us of the greatest commandment: "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." And if you love the Lord, you will follow him. You will obey what he says. Now, Peter had just failed. He had failed. He had denied Jesus three times, and now Jesus is restoring him. Elders, we too fail. We know that we are weak. We need to examine ourselves. Do we love Jesus more than anything? Are we committed to following him fully, in deed and not just in word? Yes? Good. Straining forward to what is ahead, forgetting what lies behind, shepherd his sheep. So I exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Peter doesn't speak of himself as some great apostle who's handing down decrees to the elders in the church. No, he says, as a fellow elder. He identifies with the elders. He shows solidarity. And now, we, like Peter, we are put among the flock. We are not some great high churchmen in robes handing down decrees to the flock. No, we are among the flock. And we are identifying with the flock. Now, the word for elder can be used of someone who is older or someone who is elderly, but that's not the way that Peter is using it here. He's using it of a leadership position of appointed elders who have spiritual maturity and authority in the congregation. And this is a common use for the word elder in the New Testament. Now, in 5 verse 2, he says, "Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight." Whose flock is the shepherd to be shepherding? Is it the shepherd's flock? No, it's the flock of God. The shepherd had better take care of this flock because this flock belongs to God. And where is this flock? He says it is among you. As I was just saying, the flock is among you. The shepherd is not in a tavern while the sheep are out in the field. The shepherd is with the flock. Peter says that the elder is to be shepherding and to be exercising oversight of the flock? Does it say that the shepherd, the elder, is to be entertaining the flock? Does it say that the elder is to be relevant so that you can draw people in from the street? Is that what it says? No, the elder is to be shepherding and exercising oversight of the flock of God who is among them. Not shepherding unbelievers, shepherding the sheep who are among us. By the way, this is one reason why you need to be part of a local congregation, not part of a video link. You need to be among the flock. You need to be with the flock. In our oversight, we guard ourselves and the entire flock of God, which the Holy Spirit has made us overseers of. Now, by what standard do we exercise oversight and shepherd? By what standard do we guard ourselves and the flock? An elder has no authority except what comes from Scripture. An elder has no authority except what comes from Scripture. If the elder is adding to Scripture, he is being legalistic and he is being tyrannical. If an elder is taking away from Scripture, not living by Scripture, not teaching everything that Scripture teaches, then he is uncaring. Maybe there's some teachings in the Bible that are, you know, a little uncomfortable in our day and age. If an elder is not teaching that because of that, he is uncaring for the sheep. He's making that Scripture of no effect. Either way, whether he is adding to the Word or he's subtracting from it, he is setting himself up as an illegitimate authority. Now, there's two big problems that we see here. The first problem is that there are savage wolves and roaring lions. And the second problem is that there are those who look like shepherds, but who are in fact hirelings or hired hands who care nothing for the sheep. Let's look down at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. 1 Peter 5, verse 8, he writes, "Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." Now flip back to Acts chapter 20. If you like, we're going to read verses 28 through 31. "Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers." This is Paul, he's speaking to the Ephesian elders. "Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears." Now, children, do you remember, children, pay attention, do you remember what we read in John chapter 10, what Mr. Larger read in John chapter 10 this morning? Do you remember the difference between the hired hand and the shepherd? Do you remember what the hired hand did? Yeah. The hired hand, he was watching the sheep one day. Maybe he got distracted. Maybe he was having a nap. Or maybe he had caught one of the lambs and was making himself some nice, tasty roast lamb. Or maybe that hired hand was watching carefully. In any case, he did end up seeing a wolf coming. And children, what did that hired hand do? Ran away. Yeah, the hired hand ran away. And then what happened to the sheep? They scattered. And the wolf snatched up one of those sheep. So the big problems are there are real predators and there are fake shepherds. There are real predators and there are pretend shepherds. We call those pretend shepherds hirelings, hired hands. You can't always tell who are the actual predators and who are the real shepherds or who are just hirelings. Now, Peter gives three ways that the elder is to shepherd and exercise oversight. And these are three ways in which a hireling is different than a real shepherd. Our first contrast is whether the elder is... The first contrast of the difference between an elder and a hireling is seen in verse 2. It says, "Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you." In China today, elders and pastors are especially targeted by the government. Our brother Timothy here has told me that the authorities often take out the preachers and the elders and make examples of them to try and scare the rest of the church. In the entire book here in 1 Peter, he has been writing about suffering. And ever since chapter 2, he has repeatedly come back to how Christians can expect to suffer. And now he has come to the elders, how the elders should behave under the threat of persecution. It is particularly important that the leaders of the church are good leaders, that the shepherds are true shepherds and not hirelings that run away when danger comes. So Peter says, not under compulsion. Children, do you know what under compulsion means? It means not forced. A shepherd who is being forced to exercise oversight, even though he is afraid, is not doing his duty out of love. If he is being forced to stand out there and feed and protect the flock, he will not be diligent to find the best pastures for them. The sheep will not be able to eat as well as they should. If the shepherd is being forced to do his work, he does not love the sheep well enough to be diligent in watchfulness. That shepherd is less likely to notice wolves. He will probably not try to rescue the sheep that is being carried away. Such a shepherd is probably a hireling that does not really want to serve. He's not serving out of love. He feels forced, maybe by outside pressures or the fear of man. You should not serve under compulsion, but you should serve willingly. Now, if you are not an elder, but maybe you should be an elder, if you are being called to be an elder, you must not have a false modesty to avoid eldership and leadership just because it might be hard or just because it might be dangerous. Don't put on a false modesty. If God is calling you to be an elder to shepherd His own flock, then you must not run from responsibility, but courageously fill that call. Now, here's a question for the elder or the potential elder. What will you do if danger comes? What will you do if persecution arises? Will you be fearful? Will you be a fearful leader who's forced to lead? Fear is contagious, but courage is also contagious. When the danger of persecution arises, the elder must do his work willingly and courageously and joyfully. Now, the next contrast here is whether the elder is serving greedily or eagerly. Greedily or eagerly. Again, verse 2, "Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight," and then he goes on, "not for shameful gain, but eagerly." The word for shameful gain is also translated dishonest gain, or filthy lucre, or greed. Some big examples of dishonest gain are when the Roman Catholic Church would sell indulgences. Giving money to the church could make it so that, you know, your relative or your friend could go to heaven faster. Or you could buy the you could pay to remove or to reduce punishment for you for sin. Prosperity preachers, they sell health, wealth, and fame. That's shameful gain. Judas used his position as keeper of the money bag to take money for himself. And Judas even sold Jesus. But greed doesn't only come in the form of money. It can also be the desire for status or self-worth. It can be the desire for recognition and a title. It can be the desire for power and authority. Greed may motivate a hireling to see what he can get, but an elder serves for what he can give. A shepherd who is receiving pay for his work is not shameful or dishonest because of that. Paul says in 1 Timothy 5, Let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox when it treads out the grain, and the laborer deserves his wages. But this can be abused. Making money the motive for the work is shameful. This is why Paul said that a man who is greedy for money is not qualified to be an elder. And why he warned us against those who, in Titus 1, they are teaching for shameful gain. God says through Ezekiel the prophet, Ezekiel 34, "Ah, shepherds of Israel who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep." Peter says, not for shameful gain, but eagerly. The word for eagerly was used at that time for the benefactor of a city, a wealthy man who cheerfully and eagerly gives of his time and his money for the benefit of the city. Now, a question for the elders. Are you serving for what you can get out of it? Or are you sacrificially and eagerly building up the congregation? Are you yearning for the flock of God with the affection of Jesus Christ? I exhort you to be praying that this congregation has abounding love and hospitality and service. To be teaching the congregation so that they are growing in knowledge and discernment. To be washing the congregation with the word of God so they can be pure and blameless at the day of Christ. And so that they are filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and the praise of God. Our third contrast is whether the elder is domineering or is a demonstration. Domineering or a demonstration. Is the elder's life an example and a demonstration of faithfulness? That's our third contrast. Again, verse 2, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, and then the third contrast in verse 3, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. Jesus used this same word for domineering when he spoke about the rulers of the Gentiles in Matthew 20. He said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. And we know many rulers and authorities in our days, they are domineering. They want to control what you think, what you say, even now in Canada, where you go, what you do. It's much worse in China and other places in the world. Such rulers are domineering. But Jesus said, again in Matthew 20, it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant. Whoever would be first among you must be your slave. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus set the example of humble service and of obedience to his Father. And elders follow the example of Jesus. Elders are supposed to be setting the example of humble service and obedience for the congregation to follow. Now think of cowboys and ranchers. When they bring the cattle in from the range, they round them up. They drive them on ahead of themselves with shouts or with whips. That's how they get the cattle to go where the rancher wants them to go. But this is not the picture of a good shepherd. What does a shepherd do? The shepherd calls his sheep and they follow him. The shepherd leads the sheep out to pasture. He does not drive them there. The shepherd sets the example by going in the direction that the flock need to go. Paul said in Philippians 3, "Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example that you have in us." So elders, a question for you. Are you proud and domineering and trying to enforce your own will? I know that is not the case here with my brothers. And then the second part of that question is, are you humbly living with the Bible as your authority, with Christ as your King, and with love flowing out of your life? Are you humbly living with the Bible as your authority and Christ as your King, and with love flowing out of your life as an example to the congregation? Elders provide the example for Christian life. You have Christian freedom. There is much freedom as a Christian. We don't dictate how you live your life, but our life is feeding you and guarding you from danger. We are like a shepherd on the hillside, keeping watch over the flock. We are not bishops in robes, esteemed in the city and handing down our decrees for what the flock should do. When an elder does need to exercise oversight authority, it is an authority of service. Even if it is not understood by everyone, even if it is never understood. If there are things that you think the elders are doing wrong, we are accountable not only to God, but also to you. Please come and speak with us. Our last heading is the reward and the response. Look at verse 4. 1 Peter 5, verse 4. "And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory." An under-shepherd who is taking care of someone else's flock is seeking the good of the flock. Not only because he knows and loves and cares for every sheep in the flock, but also because he knows and he loves the chief shepherd. God's people are so valuable that our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, he died. He shed his blood in his care for his sheep. And he will appear and judge every shepherd, and it will be clear who the hired hands are. Hirelings who run from danger. Hirelings who do not serve out of love. Hirelings that feel forced to serve. Hirelings who serve for greedy gain. Hirelings who serve in a domineering way. Hirelings who serve for the sake of status. They cannot expect any reward. But as for the elders who persevere in faithful service through the suffering and persecution and hardships, there is glory that follows suffering. And it is the same. Peter has been saying this throughout the entire book, actually. He's been talking about suffering, and then he's talking about glory that follows. And now, as he comes to elders, he says the same thing. There is glory that follows suffering. And here he says that the elders are promised the unfading crown of glory. This is an unfading inheritance kept in heaven for them. It is not their own glory, but it is the glory of the Lord. And congregation, I want you to know that we all have a crown of life and a crown of righteousness that we will receive at the end. We all have an unfading inheritance and an unfading crown that we will receive at the end. So elders, stay watchful as you care for the sheep. Be diligent in feeding them the good food of the word. Gather them, protect them, rescue the strained, bind up the wounded, love them, and set the example by loving God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all of your strength. And by loving God's people just as Christ himself has loved you. And how he laid down his life for your sake. So brothers and sisters, what does all of this mean for us? What does it mean for you, Christian, who's sitting in the seat? What does this mean for you? Well, there's three things I want to draw your attention to. One, how do you respond to your elders? Our text says in verse 5, likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. When he says younger and when he says elder here, he is not referring to age. As I said, he is referring to Christian leadership and maturity in the congregation. This is being under the authority of the elders. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17 says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. Joyfully submitting to the elders is a benefit to you. It is good for you, and it is good for the entire congregation. Two, the attitudes and expectations for elders are also for you. They are not high above you. They are among you as examples to follow. Follow their example. Ask them questions. Ask them about their devotions, how they guide their family, or how they deal with workplace issues. And three, which example are you following? Are you following the example of the elders who live among you, who love you, who care for you, who are living as examples before you? Or are you following the example of a TV or internet personality or celebrity? Who are you spending more time following the example of thinking about? And now, for future elders and deacons, if you think that you may be called to church leadership, I want you to know that he who desires the position of an elder desires a good thing. There's nothing shameful in desiring leadership and eldership. But don't be gunning for a position. Instead, in humility, willingly and sacrificially serve in your families and in the congregation. You must demonstrate faithful service, and you must be tested before you enter leadership within the church. And now for elders. You are responsible for Christ's flock. Let that sink in for a minute. In this passage, Peter has particularly called you to two attitudes and to two expectations. Attitude number one, humility. Humility within the church and among your brothers and sisters, not domineering, but being examples, not greedily, but eagerly, not forced, but willingly. You are to be humble. And two, boldness. You are to be bold in the face of attacks on the church. You are to be bold in the face of suffering. You are to be bold in the face of persecution. You are to be bold against the wolves and against the roaring lion. Your leadership is critical, especially in trials. The congregation is watching. The congregation is following you. Now, elders, you should expect, number one, you should expect trials and sufferings and a hard road ahead. Leadership has challenges. And number two, My notes are missing, but that's okay. Number two is you should expect glory. You should expect the glory that will follow suffering. So you should expect challenges and you should expect glory.